right, man. Welcome to another episode of the Back Row Redskins Show. I have a special guest for you guys. This is a very good friend of mine. Very knowledgeable when it comes to sports, when it comes to the when it comes to football in general. Ashley, welcome to the show. Hey, Ashley, are you there?
Definitely lost connection there. I don't know what happened.
I just did the intro and welcomed you to the show.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that. Yeah, I was like, oh man, it's buffering. Like, oh, I'm probably missing so much right now.
No problem. Somebody just said Sam Darnold to the Washington football team. What do you think of that statement? Sam Darnold to the Washington football team.
You know, Sam Darnold, he has the mechanics. I think he has the tools to be successful. But, I mean, it's the Jets. The Jets were ran by, you know, a very poor supporting cast.
Right.
And I think that if he was given the tools to succeed, like an actual offensive line, a running back who's not 60 years old, a coach who doesn't, you know, actually knows what he's doing. And I really like Ron Rivera. I think Ron Rivera could really make him into something that's – I'm not saying Sam Darnold's going to be the long-term answer.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you want to win football games, I think if you want to win the NFC East again, he's not an awful choice.
Absolutely. As soon as he said Sam Darnold to the football team, I had to go to Twitter. I had to check my notifications. I had to make sure that, you know, Schefter hasn't said anything, because then I'm like recording and, you know, I don't even know what's going on. So, yeah. So the football team has a lot of holes. A lot of holes. And the main thing for the football team is, you know, let's say he says he's just messing with me, man. That is hilarious. That's hilarious. So the main thing that the football team needs is a quarterback. And you look at the quarterbacks that are available. You see, what's his name? Cam Newton. Cam Newton has been coming up a lot. Personally, I'm not a Cam Newton guy. I don't think that Cam Newton should be in D.C. I mean, we even talked about it when Ron Rivera traded for Kyle Allen. And you remember initially you laughed. You was like, what? They're giving up a fifth-round pick for Kyle Allen? Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty funny because, you know, you have a Dwayne Haskins at the time. And Alex Smith was on the roster, but he was more so for insurance. So, mm-hmm. When we traded that fifth round pick, I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of mad, but you know, we got it back once we traded who's that troublemaker? Dunbar. Dunbar. Yep. Yeah, so we got it back. So the biggest thing is quarterback. So out of the quarterbacks that are available via free agency, you have Cam Newton out there, you got Ryan Fitzpatrick out there, you got the names that are out there are pretty bad. So out of all the names out there, who do you see as a good choice for the football team?
Man, it's hard because, like you said, there really aren't any great names. I mean, there's guys you could trade for.
Right.
But I think there's really two answers, and they're both kind of for different reasons. One could be Jimmy Garoppolo if he's cut by the 49ers. I think they're going to go in a different direction, so I could see him being cut at cap casualty. Mm-hmm. He's not awful. You know, Jimmy G has, you know, some talent, kind of like Sam Darnold. He's shown he can get the ball down the field. He's pretty athletic. He's not going to torch you for 500 yards a game, but when you give him weapons, he's able to check it down. He's able to get around you know, he's able to use his feet, pick up extra yards. And I think that with someone like Ron Rivera, who's, you know, really a team guy, he wants to build chemistry. He wants to reload, not rebuild. He's not in Washington to rebuild. But I think that, I mean, out of all of them, I think he would be my number one guy to go after. I mean, other than trading for, like, Watson or Wilson. But the other one, like, I mean, I don't know how you're going to feel about this one, but I'm just going to say Cam Newton, and it's only because hear me out. So in Carolina, he and Ron Rivera had such incredible chemistry. They had, you know, that first season where they won 15-1 and went to Super Bowl, that roster wasn't great, but the chemistry trajectory that they had and the coaching that they had and the trust that Ron Rivera had in Cam Newton really made that team go to the next level. And what a comeback story would be, you know, for Ron Rivera to have a brand new football team, right? Coming after all this adversity. This is going to be the first, in my mind, the first true year for Ron Rivera, because last year there was so much speculation going on around the football team. So much crazy stuff. All the scandals, all the firing, all the players getting into stuff like that. And I think, you know, what better comeback story than, okay, Ron Rivera gets a clean slate. Mm-hmm. Cam Newton, bounce back season in Washington. You guys pick up a couple more wide receivers. He's getting back. Right. I'm not saying he's Cam Newton, you know, that Cam Newton. Like, he's not going to be Superman Cam Newton, but he can be a guy that knows the Rivera system. It's not going to take him 13 weeks to get, or, you know, half the season to get accustomed to how he wants, you know, Rivera wants him to play and the routes and everything like that. He's already going to have that knowledge. So I think that kind of gives him an edge in being a reload and not rebuild, because anytime, even when Tom Brady came to Tampa, it took them a while to learn the playbook.
Right.
And I think that him having that edge could kind of give you guys a boost that you need, especially with the leadership that he has. I'm not a huge Cam Newton fan because he was in Carolina for so long, especially being in Tampa's division. But you can't knock the guy for being a leader, and you can't knock him for wanting to bring the best out of the people on the team.
Absolutely.
So I think that as much as you don't like it, I can tell by the look on your face. I think that it's a real option they have to look into.
Well, there's a great chance that Cam Newton does come to DC, but I'm going to give my thoughts on Cam Newton in a minute. But this question said, would you like Mac Jones or possibly Fields? He says he looks like he's dropping down a board. So I'm going to give my thoughts on Mac Jones and Fields, and then I'm going to let you have it.
Okay.
Mac Jones, I don't mind Mac Jones, but it got to be in the second round. I'm not giving up a 19th pick for Mac Jones. I just think that there's just too many players, too much talent available at 19 for me to give up 19 to get Mac Jones. Now, as far as Fields, being an Ohio State quarterback, look, I'm afraid of getting these quarterbacks that are mobile, not only mobile, these smallish quarterbacks. I just don't know. I don't know. But if Fields is there at 7, and if the coaching staff feels like Fields is their guy, they can trade from 19 to 7 to go ahead and get a Fields. But I don't know. I don't know. You know, I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Man, kind of like how you said, if it's not going to be in the second round, I just don't see it happening. Like, I really feel like Washington's going to get a quarterback in free agency or trade for somebody. Like I said, it might not be the future of the franchise, but it doesn't have to be this season. It could just be a filler guy, kind of like how Jimmy G was supposed to be in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't see them using the 19th pick on a quarterback.
Right.
I can't. Like, it just doesn't make any sense in my mind.
Right.
But
out
of the two, I'd probably I don't think Fields would drop that far. I think Mac Jones would drop that far. But I mean, if I had the choice, if you say at pick 19, Justin Fields is there, then I would consider. Like, then I'd be like, okay, this is someone that, even though I don't think a quarterback should go to you guys at 19, if he's there, I'd think about it. Absolutely.
Right. I mean, it's a no-brainer. You know, it's definitely a no-brainer if you see Fields out there. I mean, you gotta take that chance because of the upside. You know, I don't dislike Fields. I'm just unsure. And the team keeps saying that they're looking for their franchise guy, right? If you're looking for your franchise guy, you better know that if you're going to take a guy in the first round. Because we took a quarterback in the first round 2 years ago that was supposed to be the guy. You know, Dan Snyder wanted him. Jay Gruden did not want him. So no matter who we draft, if you do draft a guy in the first round, that means that's the franchise guy. That's a guy that they feel can be the franchise guy. Honestly, I don't think the franchise guy will be on the team this year. I think it's a topic of discussion for next year. I think the football team definitely get a franchise guy next year. That's just my opinion. But my thoughts on Cam Newton, this is why I don't want Cam in D.C. So we look at what he did with New England. I understand he didn't have weapons. I understand, you know, the running game wasn't pretty good. I understand, like, a lot of guys opted out and, you know, they put the ball in his hands to win them games and then he just couldn't do it. Some of the throws that I saw, even when guys were wide open, some of the throws were inaccurate. And then he had some good games, but the good games that he had, for example, when they played Seattle, Seattle was terrible against the pass. So I don't even credit that game as a good game. Everybody had a good game versus against Seattle, except Dwayne Haskins. But, you know, you look at Cam. If Cam is on the football team, I look at him as a guy that's going to improve the running attack. Yes, that means Antonio Gibson is going to be good. That means a lot of these different guys are going to be good. You know what I'm saying? But I look at Cam Newton as a guy, I have to say, a Taysom Hill role. If he comes here and wants to play the Taysom Hill role, cool. Come on, Cam. But if he's coming here to be the quarterback, I just don't know. Can he get the ball to Terry? I don't know. For those of us who play fantasy football, I'm not sure. I draft Terry in redraft leagues if Cam Newton is his quarterback. I'm just saying. You know, somebody just said his arm is not the same, too many injuries. And then Superman is gone. LOL. Yes, Superman is done. There's no more. That's done. I mean, I think he can be a good backup quarterback. I think he has a chip on his shoulder. He wants to show that he can still play. But I just don't want him in D.C. But you do make a good point. He does know the offense. He does know the system. But if you're bringing in Cam, you better make sure you got a number two wide receiver. You need a number three wide receiver. You need another tight end and an RB2 for Cam to be successful. Like, he needs a lot.
I think for any quarterback on that team to be successful, you need all that. Like, I feel like those are, like, that has to happen this offseason if the Washington football team is going to take the next step.
Right. So, Ashley, next question is for you. It says, what do you think the plans for the Washington football team, what do you think their plan is in free agency?
Ooh, I've been waiting for this one. All right. So, first thing you got to do is get a quarterback.
Okay.
You have to have a leader of the team, right? Mm-hmm. And like I said, I think it might be someone like Jimmy G, but let's say it's not. Like, mm-hmm. Let's just take a look for a second who's really available. Not right. A lot. Hear me out, okay? Hear me out.
Hey, I'll take Jameis. Look, I know me and you have gone back and forth, and I've said some pretty harsh things about Jameis. But look, I'll take Jameis. Out of the guys that are out there, I forgot about Jameis. Because, I mean, he's tied to the Saints. But the Saints don't got money. So Washington can definitely offer him more money and tell him, hey, you're not going to be sharing the quarterback backfield with a guy like Taysom Hill. Like, Jameis, come here. This is your team, at least for this year. And, you know, who knows? He might ball out.
Listen. There's also another quarterback you just mentioned in New Orleans, right?
Uh-huh.
Taysom Hill. Listen, you're paying that guy a lot of money to be a couple play a game guy.
Mm-hmm.
And New Orleans is in trouble. All these New Orleans Saints fans keep, you know, saying, oh, we have a plan for the cap. We have the plan for the cap. And I understand they've made a couple moves and saved a little bit of money, but you're still $65 million over the cap limit. And you have multiple guys to resign. There's going to be some very hard decisions to make.
Yep.
And I think Taysom Hill could be one of the guys that gets cut. I don't see why they would pay Jameis and also pay another backup quarterback that much money.
That's true.
I just don't get it.
So I say this. They might pay Jameis, and then they might reconstructure Taysom Hill.
I think it would be best to wait until the real cuts start next week to see who the quarterbacks are. But that's for me, for watching this, priority number one. Get you a guy that you want to build around, whether it be for just this year to make a run, whether that be the NFC East title again or even further. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, hey, we played y'all in the first game for a wild card game, and that game was good for the entirety of the game.
It was. It was. The I was like.
Defense is already pretty set. You just need the offense. So you get a quarterback that you think Ron Rivera can mold into being that guy, whether it be for just this season or beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to add a second wide receiver.
Okay.
I understand you guys got Gandy Golden last year, and you also added
that was
Kevin Harmon, who got injured. He tore his ACL.
Yeah.
But I just
Yeah. What's his name? Cam Sims, he had a good season, but he's more of a number three, number four wide receiver. And then you have Steven Sims, Butterfingers. Yeah, so we definitely need a wide receiver, but there's a name by Chris Godwin. He happens to be available. Tell me about Chris Godwin.
Well, I don't know how available he's going to be. We're being tagged. They're trying to say that he's going to get tagged, but it's always a possibility.
Right, right.
Let's just say hypothetically it's the market, right?
Uh-huh.
He wants to get paid. Right, and he deservedly so.
I mean, yeah, he's like, what, 25?
Chris Godwin's amazing. He had, before his injury, before he had the pins placed in his hand, he had a 97% catch percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the comment, Godwin draws passes also. Well, you got to remember, I mean, he had pins in his hand. The guy's coming back from surgery, playing through all that. Yeah. I can't put that on him, okay?
Right.
When the guy catches balls that consistently and he's that good, you're not going to catch every single ball. You're just not.
He's talented. I mean, hey. You can say Godwin drops passes, but who would you rather have, Godwin or a guy like Sims Jr.? You know, so, I mean, you just can't even compare. I mean, Godwin is better than – you can make a case that Godwin is better than Terry. I mean, Godwin has done more. He's done more. I mean, he's more established.
I think you guys need a Godwin type in Washington.
Absolutely.
If you look at what the Bucs have, they have two wide receiver ones, like – Chris mm-hmm. Godwin could easily lead a team.
Right.
Mike Evans has led a team for the first 6 years of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that even though Gandy Golden, you know, had injuries and the other guy tore his ACL, I just don't see them as anything more at this point than a wide receiver three or wide receiver four, like you said.
Exactly.
I think you need someone like an Allen Robinson type, a Will Fuller type. Someone that can stretch the field and also, you know, take some of that pressure off Terry McLaurin, because that's where they're going all the game.
Mm-hmm.
They know that you don't have a real other option.
Exactly. I mean,
you have Gibson out of the backfield that can catch a couple passes, but when it comes down to you have to throw for 13, 14 yards for a first down, McLaurin's getting double teamed.
He's getting triple teamed.
I don't trust anybody else in that team to make that catch.
Right.
So I think someone like Allen Robinson, Will Fuller, Kenny Golladay.
I think she meant Curtis Samuel. She said Curtis Samuel, but he's more of a slot guy, wouldn't you say?
Curtis Samuel, well, he could kind of do both. I think he did both slot and outside before Robbie Anderson came. I mean, he's definitely talented. He could be used in the backfield as well to kind of stretch the field, kind of like how Deshaun D-Jax was in Philly, where he kind of did end around and stuff like that.
Right.
Washington was willing to spend for Amari Cooper. Yeah. I mean, I think that if Washington really wants to improve the offense, really want to spend big is wide receiver. Why not?
Yeah. I mean,
you have Terry on a rookie contract. You have all these other guys that we just talked about on rookie contracts. Give somebody a payday. You want to entice someone to come catch passes in Washington. Why not?
My two guys on the outside, if I had to say, hey, I'm going to pay some money, Allen Robinson one, Godwin two. Then if we don't get one of those two guys, I mean, you got guys like Golladay, who's going to be tagged, but if he was available, I'm like, to me, Golladay is on the same level as Terry. I think Godwin and Allen Robinson are better than Terry. So even if Terry is a number two, people say, bring this guy to be – look. Mm. Terry is a guy that is very unselfish. If we're bringing in a wide receiver of Allen Robinson or Godwin's level, he does not mind being a number two guy because he's still going to produce. Matter of fact, that's going to help him. That's going to help him if he's going against number two corners, number three corners. You know what I'm saying? All it does is help. Yeah, Ashley's a big Bucks fan. She's a big Bucks fan. So I want all of their free agents. We're going to get to defense in a minute because there's a guy on the Bucks defense that I want the football team to grab. But, yeah, Ashley, continue with your plan. So continue with your plan. So if let's say that Godwin and Godwin, Robinson, Will Fuller, There's some other pieces out there. I mean, I'll even take a guy like T.Y. Hilton or A.J. Green on a discount if they are available, if you missed out on some of these top-tier options. Is there any guy you see in the draft that fits this football team?
This year is loaded with wide receiver talent. I mean, absolutely loaded. I mean, anyone really. Like there is so much wide receiver talent this year's draft that there's going to be starters in the third, fourth, fifth round. No kidding.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have Ja'Marr Chase. You have guys like. Oh man, I'm blanking on all these guys' names now. So Ja'Marr
Chase. Devontae Smith.
If
you got Rashad Bateman
Smith and Terry McLaurin. Oh my god.
It's impossible that he slips to 19, but if he does, because you know, things do happen. You know, as the draft gets closer, maybe they look at him and say his size is an issue, or let's say that there's some crazy run on quarterback. You know, there's a possibility. Four or five quarterbacks going 15. So you never know. If he slips to 19, you got to take a guy like that. But a guy that I really like is Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota. And I'm so mad that you guys drafted Tyler Johnson last year. We took Antonio Gandy-Golden, and we were so close to having Tyler Johnson as well. I think it was in the fifth round when y'all took him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted him so bad, and like he went a pick after
that. That pick had me so excited because I was like, man, we need one more wide receiver to really like round out this roster. And I put a tweet out of like six or seven guys that I really wanted, and out of two of them, I wanted Donovan Peoples-Jones really bad, and I wanted Tyler Johnson really bad. And when we got Tyler Johnson, oh man, I knew we got a good one too because I watched him play in Tampa in the Outback Bowl.
Yeah.
And I saw him go off. I mean, off.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Oh, I forget who they played. But, man, that catch in the end zone that he had, like, in the Outback Bowl, which is – he had, like, three touchdowns or something like that and, like, 200 yards. Like, I was in awe. Like, I was like, that's the man that I want to play at Raymond James Stadium for a long time.
And you got him in the fifth round. In the fifth round. Are you serious? That's crazy. That's crazy.
Honestly, hear me out, right? If you have a wide receiver that Washington really likes by, like, pick 10, 12, I wouldn't be surprised if they moved up to get him.
That's true. Especially, I mean, that would be a whole lot cheaper than paying an Allen Robinson. It would be a whole lot cheaper than paying a Chris Godwin because those guys are going to command anywhere between 17 to 20 million, period. So – Most definitely. Like, I mean, if you're trading an extra third to move up seven spots or extra fourth or whatever to move up those spots to get that wide receiver, I think it makes sense. I think it makes a lot of sense, especially, like you said, if a guy, let's say like a Jalen Waddle is still out there. If Waddle is still out there and it's a good situation, why not? I know there are some can't-miss prospects out there in the draft, a guy like Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is going to be a guy that everybody's going after. And, you know, like you said, if he's available at 12 and Washington feels like, yo, we got to get a guy like this, I can see them trading up to get him. You know, I've seen people say that there are certain prospects that they don't mind trading up for that's a non-quarterback. So draft is going to be off the chain.
Kyle Pitts would fix a lot of issues.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really watch college football that much. You know what I mean? I'm just not because I don't like it. It's just I went to a community college to get my EMT degree. Like, you know, I don't have any, like, I'm the first person in my family to go to college. So, like, I don't have any ties to that. But I watch college football on the weekends.
Right.
And I watch a lot of Florida games, especially living in Florida. You know, those are the FSU, UF, and you know, all them. Those are the really big teams down here. And man, he's so effortless. He could easily switch to a wide receiver.
Right. He's a beast, he can play both positions. And I think eventually, look, I will not be surprised if he makes that transition to wide receiver. I will not be surprised. I definitely think that he has all the tools to be a wide receiver, and that's what makes him so like so dangerous, you know, for the simple fact that he can do it all. You know, he can split out wide, he can man a slot. He's a very, very good prospect, and I mean, he's getting a lot of hype right now, but I believe that he's going to live up to the hype, even though I feel like it takes tight ends until year three or four to really break out. I mean, you can go back and look. I mean, not every day you get a Gronkowski that comes in and just does his thing, or, you know, you get some of these special tight ends. Some of them take some time, but I think with the physical abilities that he has, if he gets on the right team, I mean, he can break out immediately. He can break out immediately. So it's going to be a guy that people trade up to go get, the top bits. So when you look at the football team and you look at the running game, we got Antonio Gibson, and then we have the receiving back in J.D. McKissic.
You can stop. You can honestly stop at Antonio Gibson. That's as far. That's as far as the running back depth really goes.
Right, but I'm going somewhere with this. We need a second running back. I don't even count J.D. McKissic as a true running back. He's a hybrid. He's really a receiver playing running back. So after Antonio Gibson, you need another guy. And when you look at the guys that are out there, like the Fournettes and all these different people, I don't want Fournette. He's good, great situation. I wanted him when he got cut. But, Peyton Barber got to go. Look, I'll take him. Don't get me wrong, but I feel like after what he just did, he's going to be expensive. He is going to be expensive, and I don't think we have the money.
Lombardi Lenny, baby. I don't know.
hey, look, he's going to be expensive, but I feel like if he came to D.C., I feel like him and Gibson would be a nice tandem because you need that running back that's going to be able to run through the tackle and get those tough yards. That's what the football team needs. You're going to have guys like James Conner out there. You're going to have guys like Marlon Mack. I think those guys will be second-tier money. No running back is getting paid this year. I mean, I don't see any running back in free agency getting more than $10 million, and that's probably going to be Aaron Jones. Everybody else is going to be about $3 to $7 million.
You think as low as three?
Huh?
You think as low as three?
Well, because, you know – there's going to be lots of guys coming into the draft. I mean, there's like about five or six good running backs that can potentially be starters and do some damage, okay? So when you look at that option, rookie contract versus paying a running back $5, $6, $7, $8 million, it all depends. And then with running backs, it's like a – I mean, they just move from team to team to team. Even the really good running backs are not getting respect anymore because of injuries. So it's a position that's not even valued anymore. You know what I'm saying? Teams rather just draft their running backs. So with that being said, I just don't see running backs getting paid this season. It might be more so like one-year deals, or even if it's a 2-3 year deal, it's voidable contracts or voidable money or funny money, as I like to call it. So I mean, I just really don't see it. After Aaron Jones, like, who do you really see out there that's going to go command some money in this market?
No one, really.
That's what I'm saying. So there's going to be a lot of guys, because if you look at every NFL team except of the football team, most teams have two good running backs or two running backs that you can run with. Like, you look at Carolina. Mike Davis was an underrated signing, right? He's going to be a free agent. When McCaffrey went out the game for most of the year, Mike Davis came in there and gave top-tier production. You know, you look at a team like the Bears, they need another running back. I mean, they got Montgomery, and that's about it. But, and you know, most teams definitely need two. Somebody just asked about Bryce Love. Honestly, I don't think that Bryce Love is ready. I hope he's ready. I'm pulling for Bryce Love, but I'm not going to hold my breath. I think that Bryce Love is not going to make the 53 this year.
I think he might get down at practice squad.
Yeah, or practice squad, you know, but, you know, with the whole practice squad thing, if he gets in the practice squad, somebody's going to sign him just off of the potential aspect. Because, you know, this guy right here was second in the Heisman some years back, and then he had that big injury, and he has not played for 2 years. So I hope he's fully healthy. I mean,
he's running out of
talent. He has a lot of talent, but I'm not going to hold my breath and just hope that Bryce Love is ready. So, I mean, cut Peyton Barber and just go get you a guy just in case. Because when all these guys are signing here and signing there, there's going to be a running back or two that are out there in free agency that doesn't get paid or doesn't have a team. Look at a guy like Devontae Freeman. What did he do last year? He was chilling, right? So, yeah, running backs, man, they're just falling like flies. Look at San Francisco. They go from running back to running back. They had Tevin Coleman, and he fell off. Then Raheem Mostert came up, then he's falling off. Then Jeff Wilson. So you can't really trust these guys. You can't trust running backs. I mean, just is what it is.
They're a dime a dozen.
What'd you say?
They're a dime a dozen.
Yeah, yeah, they really are. I mean, outside of, like, the elite guys like Derrick Henry and Ezekiel Elliott, it's debatable if he's still elite, but this goes to show you. I mean, it proves my point. You know, a guy
that was – for running backs is very, very short-lived.
Yeah, it is.
Very
it
short-lived. Is. Like, unless you've got a guy like Saquon, who obviously had an injury. Like, you can't help that. But right. Zeke fell off hard this year.
Tough.
Like you kind of saw, like, how much he really relied on that offensive line. Like, how much is it Zeke being all-powerful and godly versus right. him having an elite offensive line for the past 3 years?
True.
Anybody can run through a hole. You give me a hole big enough, I'm going to get through it too.
Exactly. And, you know, he was a guy that was product of that system. So you see all these running backs falling off. So it's almost like my rule. If I'm a GM, my rule is to draft a running back every 2 years. Draft him every 2 years. Like, we drafted Bryce Love 2 years ago. It has not panned out. You might as well just go ahead and cut him. And he was a fourth-round pick anyways. And then draft another guy in the third or fourth round. So you got to continue to add to your running back group. And you got to make that position group one of your cheaper, you know, groups that you're paying, unless you have a stud like a Nick Chubb or, you know, some of these up and coming guys. Eventually you pay them, but you have the mindset that one or two injuries can just knock them out completely. So, yeah, definitely we need a running back. We talked about the wide receiver position, quarterback position, running back position. Now let's get on to the tight end position. There's been tons of tight ends out there. A lot of guys have gotten cut. You got Kyle Rudolph getting cut. I like him. You got Jared Cook. I love him as a pass-catching guy. Well, he'll fit perfectly in Tampa Bay if you guys can't pay Cameron Brate. But out of all the tight ends out there,
I think Cam Brate would be amazing in Washington.
Of course. He's definitely on my list.
Okay, hear me out, though, right? Because I was talking about this the other day, that he might be a cap casualty only because, right, O.J. Howard's coming back from injury.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't see them getting rid of him just yet. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't have nothing to do with that, right? But they want Gronk back because Gronk's blocking was incredible last season.
Right.
So one of them going to go somehow, yeah. some way. One of them is not going to be on the team much longer, and it might be as soon as next week. If Cam Brink gets cut, the first thing Ron Rivera needs to do is, like, offer that man, like, 10 mil, which is a lot. But think about it. Cam Brate has one of the most reliable sets of hands I have seen. And I've watched him for the past, like, 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I love
Cam Brate. He's legit. Cam Brate is legit. And you know what? The money that Washington offers for another tight end is gonna be determinant of what happens with Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, who I really love. I hope we get Jonnu Smith, but there's going to be a lot of guys that are not going to get him much of them. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, Cameron Brate, Kyle Rudolph. Kyle Rudolph has great hands, too. So they're definitely going to be looking for another tight end to add, whether it's a tight end that's better than Logan Thomas or a tight end that's cheaper, you know, or even in the draft. So a lot of guys say, oh, let's keep Logan Thomas. Logan Thomas is doing so good. These are the same people that were laughing when we signed Logan Thomas. These are the same people that were nervous when you tell them that Logan Thomas is a tight end and they say, oh, you mean that former quarterback from Virginia Tech that you know, hasn't panned out, came to Washington and broke out last year, and now everybody's saying, oh, Logan Thomas needs no help. We don't need another tight end. You need another tight end. Matter of fact, you need three tight ends. Right. Most smart teams have three tight ends. You need tight end that can block. You need one that can catch. You need one that can do both. And if all three of your tight ends can do all three, or all two, all, you know, all these different things, the better.
I think that with the way Washington's offensive line is too, I think having that extra tight end for like max protect and double tight end sets would help tremendously. I don't know why they didn't do it more last season with Haskins and Heinicke, because it worked very well when they did it. But double tight end sets and max protect sets with two or three tight ends even are immaculate. I love when we run that in Tampa. Like, that's one of my favorite things. And I think that more teams should do it. So having a big blocking tight end like Cambry, or a big blocking athletic tight end like Jonnu Smith would help take the offense, like, just alone to the next level.
Yeah. So, you know, the reason why Washington hasn't used two or three tight end sets, because we only got but one tight end. We've only had one tight end. So it was kind of hard to have a Jeremy Sprinkle in there, because when you see Jeremy Sprinkles in there, think of him as a smaller offensive lineman. He's in there to block.
Oh, my God, Jeremy Sprinkles. Hands. I can't tell you how many times I've watched that man play, and I'm just like, what are you doing? Why are you running routes right now? He's so slow.
And do you know what pisses me off about Jeremy Sprinkles is that the draft where we drafted him in the fifth round, and that same year, George Kittle was drafted in the fifth round. I want to say it was before Sprinkles was drafted, but just to think that Jeremy Sprinkles and George Kittle were both drafted in the fifth round in the same draft, that hurts. That hurts. And I can't even remember who we drafted in the fourth round that year. So, I mean, like, you just got to continue to add talent to your team. Yeah, Jeremy Sprinkles, man, he has to go. He has to go. I mean, he did some decent stuff on the special teams, but, I mean, the guy has bricks for hands. And when he comes in, you just know that it's a running play. You know what I'm saying? So, you look at the Ravens. When the Ravens had Nick Boyle and Hayden Hurst and Mark Andrews, all three guys can catch, all three guys can run routes, all three guys can block. So when they come in the game, you don't even know what the Ravens are running. You know, you got Lamar Jackson, pistol offense, fake handoff, takes off, you know, tight end goes through the middle, you can hit the tight end goes deep. I mean, that was pretty much the offense, Lamar Jackson's breakout season. He had those three tight ends. And, I mean, he had a receiver that stretches the field, but that was about it. You know what I'm saying? What up, Nati, man? What's going on? What up, Corey? Got some guys joining, man. Some really good guys. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so tight end is definitely a priority for the team. And like you said, Cameron Brate is going to be an excellent option. Hopefully we don't have to pay him a $10 million. The tight end, that for me, if I'm the GM, the tight end that I'm looking to bring in is a bargain, okay? If it's a guy like Jonnu Smith, I'm willing to pay up to $9 million. I don't want to pay more than $9 million for another tight end. I see cheaper options. I see guys like Kyle Rudolph, who just got cut. He's going to have a market. All these guys are going to have a market. But the way the free agency is set up, a lot of teams don't have money. A lot of teams can't offer the maximum of what these guys are worth. So
yeah, that in the cap space is –
cap space. Cap space is ridiculous. That's why I keep saying that this year is going to be the year that a lot of guys don't get paid. You know, day one, we're going to see all these Chris Godwins and all these guys go early. Like, I mean, the minute that free agency starts, you're going to see so many signings because it's like everybody's trying to get their money. When
that
the money
first
starts,
day is going to be where everybody overpays.
Yes.
Someone's going to get some. I'm telling you right now. One of these wide receivers or one of these one of these quarterbacks is going to get some astronomical contract for no reason. Yep. And it's not going to work out well. It's literally just like when Jared Goff had that insane contract with the Rams, where you have like 170 yes. million with like 125 yeah. guaranteed. Mm-hmm. What kind of why would you do that? Like, there's someone's gonna overpay. My favorite day of free agency is day three and day four, because Bargain. That's where you get all the gems. That's where Bargain. You get guys like Shaq Barrett, who lead the league in sacks yep. and had 12 or 10 more last season. Like,
yep,
that's my favorite day, because that's the day that I watch a lot of film on the guys that get signed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's true. And I remember last year, the football team went after Amari Cooper. They missed out. Went after Austin Hooper. They missed out. Thank God, because Logan Thomas was one of those day threes, day fours. I don't even know what day Logan Thomas got signed. He might have been day 19. I don't know. But, you know, Ron Rivera went and got all these guys like J.D. McKissick, who was the number two running back in terms of receiving catches after Alvin Kamara. So that's a good signing. Logan Thomas, you know, outproduced Evan Engram, who made the Pro Bowl. That was a good signing. So you had all these cheap little signings that the football team was out here getting, and it was amazing. It was amazing to me. So, I mean, I've come to trust the front office. I think they're going to go after their top guys. Next order of business, we got to talk about Brandon Sheriff. Brandon Sheriff, they should have got the deal done 2 years ago. They should have got the deal done last year.
You got to pay now the man. Pay the sheriff.
You're going to have to. Like, but the thing is he worth $16, $17 million? You know, I think $16 million gets it done because he wants to be the highest paid guard. I haven't seen him say it out of his mouth, but you would figure that he wants, you know, after you franchise tag him and he bets on himself, right, goes out there and produces a all-pro season, even though you might
He's
disagree
gonna make
that
you pay for it. He should Absolutely. Be all-pro.
So, but then here's the dilemma here. You see teams like Jacksonville and all these different teams. The Chargers, they are trying to trade their guards. They're trying to trade their guards, and they're going to be some guards that are going to be cut. There's going to be at least 5 to 10 guards that are solid, some Pro Bowl level caliber guys. So it's kind of like, if you have all these guys that are out there, is it going to be worth it? I just lost Ashley, so I gotta wing it right now. So I don't feel like the football team should pay Sheriff $16, $17 million. I don't think it's worth it. I don't think it's worth it. Okay, Ashley came back. Let me bring her back to the stream. All right, Ashley's back on the stream. Yeah, I don't think that Brandon Sheriff is worth the money that he's trying to get. I mean, when you look at it, when he's healthy – he's the man, but it's kind of like he's pushing 30. He's going to be 30, and he's going to want a five-year deal. So if you give him a five-year deal where he's making $16 million a year, does he finish out that contract? So it's a lot of decisions to be made. Whether we bring Sheriff back or not, I won't be upset either way, because there are some options out there that are going to be cheaper and could possibly give you not elite level like Sheriff, but good, you know. So that's a decision that the football team has to make. Is he worth the money, and is he going to be durable? My whole thing is he going to be durable? So I think they should bring him back, but on a fair deal. Maybe he takes 12 or 13 million, five-year deal. Okay, that's much better. Got a stat right here. Corey from the Warpath, you guys check this guy out, man. He's a beast. He says 11 games per season isn't worth the price tag. I totally agree. I mean, because most times the games that he's missing are the games that we need in order to win. I remember when Trent Williams used to miss these big time games for us, and it just hurts when you're paying a guy big time money. They got to be able to show up. They got to be dependable, and they got to be able to show up. Somebody else has said, I hope they don't pay him a five-year deal. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough market. A three-year deal will be ideal. Three-year deal is beautiful. Making that last year of that three-year deal voidable. So pretty much a two-year deal, that would be ideal. But, I mean, we'll see what happens, man. This is a tough one right here. We should have got the deal done a couple years ago when the asking price was cheaper. Now you have an all pro in your hand. So, I mean, I don't know. But let's get on to the defense. So we have lots of holes. We have the cornerback position. You have Darby, who we brought in, bargain shopping, and he panned out. 1 year prove a deal. He was the football team's best corner. To me, he outplayed Kendall Fuller. That's just my opinion. But he's gonna want at least $10 million. I don't think he's worth $10 million. I mean, you're already paying Kendall $10 million. I mean, you gotta be able to fill more holes, but then it's kind of like you gotta pay him. Now, if we're talking about Patrick Peterson, I'll take Patrick Peterson over Darby.
Anybody in their right mind would.
Right, right. So it's kind of like there's going to be options out there, but you got to secure it. You got to secure it because if we don't pay Darby, somebody else will. And if somebody else does, then guess what? It changes the draft. Now you need a corner. You know, Fabian Moreau, he's a free agent. So.
Cornerbacks are very hit or miss.
What'd you say?
Cornerbacks are very hit or miss.
Yes, they are.
I feel like if you don't pay them and you don't secure it, like if you don't secure up your defensive backfield, it's going to bite you in the butt.
Exactly.
But if you overpay, kind of like how we saw Slay last season really not pan out too well in Philly.
Yep.
I don't know. Like it's hard.
It's like I think every position group, every decision is going to be hard. It's all about – like last year, Miami did such a great job bringing in free agents. Mm-hmm. I thought that Miami used the money and they hit on pretty much every free agent that they brought in. But now they had to let Van Noy go because, you know, cap situations. So it's kind of like hard to build a team with the cap and you got to pay people, you got rookie deals, so you draft, it's just so tough. I do feel like the football team priority, if they lose out on Sharon, then you got to pay Darby. At least you can't have holes everywhere. If you already got holes everywhere, like middle linebacker, you need one. And Tampa Bay has two of them. I'm sorry. We're just coming after every Tampa Bay free agent. Okay? Y'all are the Super Bowl champs. But let's talk about Lavonte David. He's 31 years old?
No.
We gotta talk about it. Look, he's available, and you know the only way that Washington gets people to come over here is to overpay. You know that. you know that. And having $50 million plus in cap space after cutting Alex Smith today officially, so that $50 million can go a long way. So, like, I'm saying, if you don't re-sign Sheriff, then you got to hit on a big-name wide receiver. And that just doesn't bode well for your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, we can come away with a Godwin and Lavonte David, and you're going to be mad. But the thing is, Washington overpays people for them to come here.
I'll tell you this. I wouldn't be mad if they went to Washington because I like Washington. I don't want a team that, like, if he went there, I'd be like, oh, this is bullshit. Like, no, I'd still watch. I'd still support the hell out of both of them.
Right.
I always want them on my team.
No. I feel you. I mean, Lavonte's a beast. And you know what? You put me on Lavonte David, like, I think last year or even two years ago.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I know.
You kept talking about this guy, and he was so disrespected. You know, he was so disrespected. People didn't look at his numbers, and you watch the games. I mean, I've seen you argue Lavonte David with so many people on your Twitter, and now this season, they finally got to see what you've been saying. I mean, the guy is phenomenal, man. He's a guy that can cover. He can tackle. He's a leader. And it's kind of like – I'm kind of jealous because y'all got two linebackers like that. And it's not fair. So
listen. Lavonte David is the best linebacker in the league, and no one can convince me otherwise. Until you show me somebody that can do all the things Lavonte David can, just as good as Lavonte David can, at the age that Lavonte David is, then I'm going to listen. But until then, you can't convince me otherwise.
Exactly. Washington had a very good linebacker in the name of London Fletcher. That was the last time we had a good middle linebacker. You hear me? Since London Fletcher. So,
hold on now, because you know who I do like? I like two of your linebackers.
Okay.
And the one that I really love watching is Cole Holcomb. I love Cole.
Okay.
And I really like Kevin Pierre-Lewis as well. I think he played really well when he got his opportunities.
Yep.
But I think, I really do think that, like, they need another, kind of like another Thomas Davis where, like, the leadership is there in the linebacker room. Exactly. But I really feel like Pierre Thomas is pretty old. But, you know, if you get another younger guy in there with Cole Holcomb, man, they could have a really solid core. But I feel like they're missing just that extra oomph in the middle.
Right. And those are the two guys that I really like, Cole Holcomb and Kevin Pierre-Lewis. We just need that other – we need a quarterback of the defense. And that's what I'm looking for. Maybe at 19, maybe Xavier Collins falls, maybe Jock from Notre Dame falls, maybe somebody falls. Like, we just need a middle linebacker that's going to command, respect, people fear. You know what I'm saying? Right now, Cole Holcomb is not quite there yet. I like him. He can play. We got him in the fifth round. Pierre-Lewis, he did some pretty good things. John Bostic, he can go. Either he can go or he can take a
deal. John Bostic also needs to leave immediately.
Yeah, he can go, man. You know, he's not as bad as a guy we had in the past by the name of Mason Foster. That boy was so slow.
Ex-Buccaneer legend, baby. I just love taking our players.
He came from Tampa Bay. I remember. Mason Foster, man. Oh, you know, I'm not going to lie. He was good for the first year or two, and then – he just got so slow, you know. God bless his little heart. You know, he was trying. He always had effort, but he just couldn't cover nobody. I mean, running backs were killing him out the flat. I mean, it was crazy. But, yeah, we need a middle linebacker. And there's some that are out there. You know, there's a guy from Tennessee, Jayon Brown. I believe he's a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some linebackers out there, and they're going to command some money. So, I think that Levante David gets paid more than any linebacker in his position. So I think he's number one. But, I mean, you know, we'll see what happens. Safety. We need a free safety. What is your plan for us?
That's hard. I haven't heard of a lot of free safety names. Justin Simmons would have been my pick for them, for you guys. But he just got franchise tagged today.
Sucks.
Yeah.
How about Marcus May? I hope he doesn't get franchise tag.
Ooh, Marcus. I wanted Marcus May in Tampa before he got signed by the Jets.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be good, and he really was. He's not like some stellar, like, superstar. Mm-hmm. He's just very solid and consistent.
He's solid.
Man, I mean, that's really the only guy I think the Jets would tag, though.
Yeah. I'll give you another name. Man, it just slipped my mind. Hold on, I'm going to get it. Somebody just talked about it the other day. He doesn't play for the Jets. Marcus Williams from the Saints.
I'm not really a big Marcus Williams fan. He's been burned a couple times, but, I mean, he's not awful.
I mean, you are a Tampa Bay fan, so you're going to hate the Aints. I mean.
Oh, I don't actually, I don't hate him. I just don't, like, I just feel like Saints have better defensive players.
Gotcha. That makes him look better, right? So
I feel like if Marcus Williams is on the field, that's what I'm gonna target.
Gotcha. I mean, hey, I respect it. But hey, he's a guy that I don't mind having on our team, because when you look at how the safety position is built, mm-hmm. you have what's his name? Landon Collins, who's coming off of injury. You have Cam Carl, who balled out. Cam Carl balled out, man. He was amazing. Seventh round pick, played the strong safety.
Yeah, so Cam Carl's the truth.
Yeah. So it's like we have a situation here. You know, we're going to have to figure out how to get him and Landon Collins on the field at the same time. But we still need a free safety. So
Landon Collins isn't good.
I mean, I feel you. I mean, he has definitely taken a step back. hey, I like him closer to the line of scrimmage.
I like him as a box safety.
Yeah. you know, I think as a box, he can do a lot of the things that Jamal Adams can do. I'm not saying they're on the same level, but
I got you.
Yeah.
I feel like once you get out of that box, once you ask him to play farther back, is where he really struggles. I think he struggles to track the ball. I think he struggles to keep discipline with the wide receiver. Yeah. But when he plays that box, when he can play, you know, see ball, go get ball, he's great.
Right.
He's fantastic. Yeah. He makes a lot of plays in the backfield. But once you get him into space in the secondary like that, he's lost.
Right. So, I mean, option one, you play Landon Collins at the strong safety and you play Cam Carl at the free safety. Now, Cam Carl did play corner in college. So he does have coverage skills, but they're not the best. I think his natural position is strong safety. I mean, he picked that up. It was something new for him. And he picked that up well. He can play some nickel, some slot. So he can be moved around. But we still need a safety that can play single high, a guy that's rangy. I like Trey Boston. He's available.
Trey Boston would be a great pickup too. And he played for Ron Rivera.
Played for Ron Rivera. This will be the third time that I want us to get a Trey Boston. So maybe third time is a charm. So you have anything else to add before we wrap this up?
I feel like Washington is going to be a hot destination for free agents.
Okay.
That's my hot take. I really feel like Ron Rivera has changed that culture a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think that guys are going to want to come to that team with that defense, with that leadership that Ron Rivera has and that Chase Young has.
Right.
So I think y'all land two or three big names. I'm not talking crazy big names.
Right.
But like guys are going to be like, he went to Washington? Wow. And they got a squad now. Like that kind of move.
Look, I'll take it. If it's Jonnu Smith, Curtis Samuel, and let's say a corner, and then we get to re-sign Sheriff, that was an excellent free agent.
That's an A-plus free agency, right?
That's A-plus. I mean, if we can come out with, you know, either a slot like a Curtis Samuel or, you know, an outside guy like Godwin or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
One of those, either. Because offensively is where the team needs a lot of help. So hopefully we get a receiver that can play. Hopefully we get a tight end that can help Logan Thomas, or even a tight end that's better than Logan.
What
Thomas.
I would do is I would spend all the free agency on offense and then go draft for defense.
I love it.
You need proven help right now on offense.
Right.
You don't need more rookies. Not that they're bad. But you need proven veteran help.
Absolutely. Especially with the quarterback situation being kind of funny, you got to surround the offense with as much talent as possible.
Absolutely.
You know, whether it's another guard, whether it's a tight end or two. I'll take two tight ends in free agency. You know, I'll take an extra running back. I mean, that offense, I believe that if the offense plays well enough with that top defense – man, this team can be scary, and this team can possibly win a game in the playoffs. I mean, I honestly believe that. Now, if for some odd reason we're able to pull off a Russell or a Watson deal, I'm thinking Super Bowl. I'm sorry. I don't care who the wide receivers are. I don't care who the weapons are. If we are able to acquire, let's say we're able to acquire Russell Wilson, right, and we didn't have to give up a young player because, you know, Texans, they want everything. They want all the picks and all the young guys. No. So let's say we're able to get a Russell Wilson, right? And we gave up this year's first, next year's first. Let's just say three firsts. Next 3 years, no first, right? And that's all it took to get a Russell Wilson. Then you have a second-round pick. You got 2 third-round picks, a third, a fourth, I think. I mean, we got some picks. And you still have all your money. Well, obviously, you know, with a trade, you're taking on Wilson's contract. But even with the money that we have to, you know, re-sign Sheriff and maybe get a receiver, I honestly think that's a Super Bowl contender. Because the Achilles heel of this team has been quarterback. Like, since I've been a fan, since 1999, best quarterback we've had is Brad Johnson. I mean, Brad Johnson and then And then we had Kirk Cousins for two or three years, and then we had RG3 for that one year of RG3. So I don't know what a quarterback is. I don't. I've never seen one before. So if we're able to get a Russell Wilson, if we're able to get a Russell Wilson, I mean, he's gonna him and guys like J.D. McKissick and Logan Thomas. He's gonna make those guys look like stars. He's gonna make Terry McLaurin look better than DK Metcalf, which I honestly think that Terry's better than DK Metcalf. That's just my opinion. That is my opinion. I think that
I don't hate it.
Hey, Terry's route running is crispy. His hands are solid. I think he only dropped one pass last year. I think he's only dropped one pass since he's been in the league.
McLaurin's routes are like football porn. Like,
you know, but then you get a guy like DK Metcalf dropping passes all over the, you know, he makes some great, I mean, but it's a situation that you're in. You're playing with a Tyler Lockett on the other side. You know, you're playing with a running game. You have Russell Wilson. Terry had Case Keenum. That's the best quarterback Terry's played with, and he's still putting up numbers. So, I mean, I'm taking Terry over DK any day. Now, DK's physical abilities, you can't beat that. Once he works on
his built in a lab, of course you can't.
You know, he's an athletic freak. I get that. But you give me Russell with Terry, you will see something special. You will see something special for sure. But Ashley, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. It was fun chopping it up. This is Fix the Football Team 2.0. Ashley, tell the people where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, y'all can find me on Twitter at EMT_Ashley, and it's spelled Ashlie. I really don't do much other. I mean, my Instagram's the same. I'm not really on there a whole bunch. I don't do Facebook, nothing like that. Like, even as, like, young as I am, like, there's just some social media that I just don't mess with.
You're right. I feel you.
But I really appreciate you having me on. Like, this was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
We can do it again sometime after the draft, something like that. I'm totally
You already know. Hey, after free agency, I'm bringing you back on.
Let's go.
And we're going to talk about these signings. We're going to talk about who got overpaid, who got underpaid, you know, who's still out there, and what's the plan for the draft. So I would definitely love to bring you back after free agency, probably like maybe like day five. That way,
just let me know. I'm so down. This is a lot of fun.
Most definitely. Hey, I had a great time. So, guys, once again, you guys are listening to the Back Row Redskins show. You guys can find me on social media at the Back Row Redskins. Also, follow me on YouTube, on the YouTube channel, Talking Sports with Manny. Everything Back Row Redskins is funneled into that YouTube channel. Also, the merchandise store is now live. So, support your boy. I got hats. I got beanies. I got hoodies. Talking Sports with Manny. I appreciate you guys. I love y'all. And we out. Peace.